Okay, that's the most touching, one of the most touching songs in the book, I believe, written by John W. Peterson. So, good to see you tonight. And we're on the last few verses of the book of Daniel. And when my grandfather started me off with Daniel, with the help of some Clarence Larkin's charts and things when I was about 14, I thought I had a fairly good grasp of the book until I came to do this verse-by-verse exposition of the book of Daniel. Then I was saying, oh Lord, how long? How long do these things become understanding to me? So, so we're coming to the end of the book now. And one of the first problems I had with the morning message was, where is the climax? And exactly really what I think what Daniel's asking here. What is the final issue? You know, like we know about the Antichrist and we've seen all this in the various prophecies, but what now? And so it dawned on me that the great climax was in chapter 7, and that's where we went back to. So when it comes to the Lord in prayers, we look at what I would call it tonight, supplementary instructions and Q&A, really. Sort of where Daniel's able to dialogue with the recording or revealing angel and ask some personal questions, and there's information given which is very helpful to know as to do what is the final end. And it's one thing to end with the Antichrist that's dead and the Lord Jesus has arrived, but what then? And I think that's what we're dealing with here. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, help us in these few moments to pay attention to this, which is yet another passage of your holy and precious word. And we thank you, dear Father, that every word of it through this book of Daniel has been inspired of you. And we thank you for that. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll give us a working and a heart knowledge of the book. And then it'll help us, dear Father, to understand the wonderful book of Revelation too. So with these things we ask tonight, you bless those watching by live streaming as well, dear Father. Thank you for the good service this morning. And we just pray for your blessing upon those now in their homes. Spread out, Lord, at quite distance, some of them, Lord, tonight, just tuning into these final verses of the book of Daniel. Make it valuable to each heart. Help us to bring out applications which we need, dear Father, for the Christians in the church age. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read the last chapter again, because one of the benefits of going through the Bible is getting you and me to read God's word. So I'm going to read chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. Now, it's interesting, chapter 12 starts, we've already covered some of that this morning, with Michael standing up, and Michael is the patron angel of Israel. We see in chapter 10 that it's Michael that comes to the rescue of the good angel, holding a pattern in the conflict of the heavenlies there. And so it's interesting that the archangel, if it be the same one, is also sounding the horn. The voice of the archangel, rather, is mentioned in our memory verse tonight. Wasn't it true? It says here, descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Now, there's if the Michael the archangel is particularly, his particular role is to look after the Jewish people, then what information, what would he be heralding if this is the catching way of the Gentile church, based by and large, in the church age? What could the Michael the archangel be heralding to Israel?
This is your Messiah.
Sorry?
This is your Messiah.
Yes, could be that.
Beginning of the tribulation.
Beginning of the tribulation, I believe, is a possibility. It's only possibilities. I like to think of possibilities. So if he's the one that's warning Israel and standing up to defend Israel, and he's involved, his voice is there as we go through the starry skies to be with the Lord, he could well be alerting Israel to that fact that now the time of Jacob's trouble is starting immediately on the removal of the church from planet Earth. Just an interesting thought. It's good to ask questions of the scriptures and make sure that the answers are scriptural. So that's good. All right, that came out of that. But then where the main prophecy of the body is now complete, what remains, this is my thoughts on this, is a bit like a Q&A time between Daniel and the revealing angel. And so we see a number of things here. Number one, Daniel is commanded to shut and seal the book, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And as John Walwood says, the prophecies thus revealed were to have primary application to those living in the time of the end. So the prophecy, although enlightening to Daniel, is pertinent to the time of the end. And that's significant, that as we get closer to the fulfillment of these prophecies, there's definitely more light that God gives. I believe in some senses we have more light as a church today, and particularly with some of the helps of the great conservative expositors on prophecy, we have a much clearer picture than, say, J.N. Darby did, and can see things much clearer, and we can see the signs of the time. We can see things happening on a world scale which that's where that does fit. This is Russia, this is Iran, this is Persia, this is Turkey, and other things happening there. And as we look at these things, and we see, as we mentioned this morning, this whole push for globalization, it's sort of, we're children of the last days, in that sense, before the rapture. So what are the marks of the end time then? The marks of the end time are twofold, and it's simple application, really. Worldwide travel and the increase of knowledge. It says here, many shall run to and fro, which is travel, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, we are living in the information age. The information age. We've never had more information or basic raw knowledge at our fingertips ever in history before. It's something which is unique to this age, and the worldwide travel, of course, is with us as well. So Daniel's commanded to shut the book. He's done his job in recording it. He has limited understanding himself because he asked the questions, I don't understand this. Sometimes he said, I was quite faint. I couldn't, it was a huge task for me to understand this here. But the time is for the time of the end. Worldwide travel and the knowledge shall increase are two marks of this age. So Daniel's commanded to shut and seal the book because it's going to become more appropriate to our time and particularly for the time of the tribulation believers. They're going to be actually going to this. This is going to be a very important part of their Bible when the Antichrist is crushing, literally crushing the life out of the believers. They'll be looking very carefully at these scriptures, going there daily, perhaps to the Word of God, to say, now, where are we at right now? And they'll see very clearly, more clearly than we do, the times of the time, signs of the times and the answers to this prophecy. The second thing I want you to note is, is the question, how long until the time of the end? Now, chapter 12, verse 5, there's actually the two angelic beings mentioned here. 5 and 6 says here, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. Now, we say, what is the river? If you go back to chapter 10 sometime, you find it's the river Hiddekel, which is an ancient name for the Tigris River. And we find that Daniel was physically at that junction of that river there and has been for this long prophecy delivered to him. And at the beginning there, remember, we saw a man clothed in linen. And he appears to be the revealing angel there. So two angelic beings, verses 5 and 6. One said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So that's interesting. In verse 7 we read, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and half a time, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy things, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Now I got a little bit nosy and I checked out the Strong's Concordance because there's two questions there. Verse 6 says, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And verse 8, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And there is a difference in the Hebrew word, and I don't know Hebrew. It depended on Kyle and Delich a bit, but there is a subtle difference here. And the second one seems to be, what is the final issue? We'll talk about that in a minute. So it seems to be the angel follows that process there. So the question proposed by the revealing angel, one said, verse 6, to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So the man clothed in linen, we believe, the same individual as seen in Daniel 10 and verse 5. The place in question is the same as at the beginning in 10 chapter 4, Hiddekel, that is the river Tigris. The question, how long shall these wonders be? And the answer is given by the same revealing angel in verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, that's someone wicked, all these things shall be finished. Now, we've come across this before, time, times, and half a time in the book of Daniel. It was in Daniel 7 and verse 25. And apparently, according to Expositor, is an Aramaic expression because some of Daniel's written in Aramaic. Most of it is in Hebrew, but there's a whole section in the middle in Aramaic, which was the local language of Daniel's captors at the time. So apparently it's an idiom there which means 3.5 years. Simple as that. And now it's taken up into the Hebrew in Daniel 12:7. So in Daniel 7:25 we see the same reference to this, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. This is the little horn, and he and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, shall think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time, here it is, and times, and the dividing of time. I remember my grandfather clearly saying that. I thought, this is a strange sort of a statement. And then he'd keep going, and eventually it started to tweak. If you do a little study on that, and you look where it occurs in the book of Revelation, and then you start looking at 42 months, or 1260 days, my grandfather says that is the same period of time. It's 3.5 years, and it occurs quite many times in these prophetic books here, in these two books here. So it refers to, Brother Walter said, it is the last half of the seven-year period of Daniel 7:27. Now Daniel 9:27. Now Daniel 9 is the prophecy of the 70 weeks prophecy. He shall confirm the covenant for many for 1 week. In the midst of the covenant, he breaks that covenant, and then abominates the holy place. And goes on his 3.5 years of playing God and crushing the life out of God's people. So the answer is given here that the end of these wonders will happen when that period ends, because at the end of that will be when the Lord Jesus comes, the second advent. It culminates in the second advent according to Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. It's placed in relation to the persecution of the Jewish people, verse 7b of 12, and when he, the wicked one, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. The verb to scatter means to shatter. When they finish shattering the power of the holy people. Here we see the description of Antichrist, devastation against the holy people, an outburst of anti-Semitism, no doubt, but particularly those who are faithful to the Lord God Jehovah and any other believers who believe on the word which they have spread. It's a vendetta against the tribulation believers also in general, but particularly he has mentioned the power of the holy people that are crushed and shattered. Then we have Daniel's bewildered response to this. In verse 8, it says, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And here we have, of course, perhaps what is the final point of all this. I noticed in the Strong's it has the word issue amongst the catalogue of meanings. What is the issue? Where is it going from here? I can see that you've answered my first question. Well, the first question which the angel posed on behalf of Daniel, I can see the 42 months, I can see the 3.5 years, but what is the final issue? What happens then? And that's really where this chapter comes into its own, because there's information here that I don't know anywhere else in the Bible is portrayed. So what of the future, personally for Daniel, and for the people of God? All right, the third thing I want you to see is the concluding explanation of the angel. The prophecy, not fully understood, will not be fully understood until the time of the end. Here's the response, verse 9. And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end." In other words, there's some questions you'll have that you won't understand right now, but those who are living in those end times will understand it, Daniel. It's for them more than anybody else that this is written. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." So God will use these vigorous times to purify and refine his people in the tribulation believers. God will give those wise ones living in those days understanding. We could imagine harried believers searching Daniel's prophecy to guide them through these dark days. So the tribulation saints who are going through the purifying fires of persecution will have greater understanding of this prophecy than Daniel did, and greater than we have now. But there's two important revelations given by way of clarification to that question: what is the final issue? What's happening after now the Antichrist? We've heard a lot about him through all these passages. We've seen him typified, and Antichrist Epiphanes had pretty good airplay all the way through. What's happening now? What is the final issue? And here there's two revelations come out, which is new information. In answer to Daniel's question, what the final issue? Then we see here, okay, the little horn is dispatched. What then for the people of God? What their future? And the first revelation is seen in verse 11, which says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." The daily sacrifice is taken away. These are Jewish sacrifices reinstituted in the newly built tribulation temple in Jerusalem. Exactly or similar to what Antiochus Epiphanes did some hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus came. So from Daniel's 70-week prophecy, the second half of the week is 3.5 years. And we know from that, as we mentioned, since the prophetic year is based on a 360-day year, this amounts to 42 30-day months. So 42 months, 3.5 prophetic years, or 1,260 days. Daniel 12:11 adds 30 extra days. That's interesting, isn't it? Why? We don't know exactly. We really can't be dogmatic, but there's some interesting comments from the commentators that it's interesting to see. I guess you'll know that when we get near to the point. Why the extra days added onto the prophecy? So here. And then the second revelation includes a blessing or a benediction. Verse 12. "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days." So there's 45 days difference there and 30 days on the other one, which gives you 75 days extra tacked on to the prophecy, or 75 days, which, remember, the end of the 70th week, the Lord Jesus comes in power and glory. He deals with the Antichrist as a top priority as he lands. Now, Daniel's 70-week prophecy is finished to that point. But you remember there's a lot of other things that Daniel's prophecy said: to bring in everlasting righteousness, to finish the prophecy, the sum of prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, etc. All these different things had to happen. And here you have extra time, I believe, to do this. The explanation of the 1260 days will bring the beast's life and reign to an end. That's the explanation. The extra 75 days will be needed to accomplish a number of things prior or during or as a part of the setting up of the kingdom. Now you think about what it's going to take for the Lord to set up his kingdom on earth. He arrives in lightning speed. He dispatches the Antichrist. But there's things he has to do, when you read other scriptures, have to be done before he actually is installed. And the whole kingdom was installed at that time for the 1,000-year reign. And I want to read you what John Walwood says. Can't improve on him. "Although Daniel does not explain these varying durations, it is obvious that the second coming of Christ and the establishment of his millennial kingdom requires time. The 1260-day period, or precisely 42 months of 30 days each, can be regarded as culminating in the second advent itself. This is followed by several divine judgments, such as the judgment of the nations in Matthew 25:31-46. Then shall be gathered before him all nations. He shall separate them as a shepherd separates a sheep from the goats. He will judge them on the basis of how they've treated national Israel, because he only has to ask the nations, how did you treat my brethren? And on the basis of that, some are dispatched to the eternal flames and others are welcomed into the kingdom. Makes sense, doesn't it? So here we've got the judgment of the nations, the living nations at that time, and then we have the regathering and judgment of Israel, Ezekiel 20, 34 to 38, where I think it's in that passage where God says he's going to purge out the rebels. Now, not all the Jews are going to be fit to enter the kingdom. Some of them have been a very wicked people. And God will judge the Jewish nation. Continuing the comment, these great judgments begin with the living on earth and purging out the unbelievers who have worshipped the beast. Although handled quickly, will require time. By the 1335 days or 75 days after the second advent, these judgments will have been accomplished. And as Ekob says in his book, not bad, not a bad feat for 75 days. And the millennial kingdom formally launched. Those who attain to this period are obviously those who have been judged worthy to enter the kingdom. Hence, they are called blessed. Interesting comments there that you can ponder. We can't prove for sure, but there's added things in the Bible works complementary to itself. And it does show interest here that Daniel asks the question, as far as I can see, well, what is the final issue? We can see that Antichrist is going to be done. You're here, but what then? The Lord said, okay, be patient. Be patient for another 75 days. Blessed is he that... that makes it to that 75-day extra, because it means that he's ready, he's a candidate. He's passed any of the tests which the Lord may put on him as a living person, or how he's treated the nations or how Israel. You're blessed if you pass that, because you're ready to go into the kingdom blessing age. All right, so then we have one more statement here, a final statement of Daniel's personal future. And then I'm going to just bring a few concluding remarks. Daniel's personal future. Daniel 12:13, but he says, but go thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest. You're going to die. He's an old man now, really. He's a very old man. Daniel's a very old man. It's the end of his life. You're going to die, you're going to rest, but you will stand in your lot. So you're going to be resurrected. You'll stand in thy lot, in the place allotted to you at the end of days. Well, I have a plan for you in the kingdom, Daniel. Be patient, rest. Don't fret by what you still don't understand. I've got it on hand and you're going to be cared for. And you're going to have a place there in my kingdom. Walwood writes, anticipating that Daniel would not completely understand these additional revelations, the angel informs him, but go thy way till the end be. The angel predicts that Daniel will rest, that is die, and stand in thy lot at the end of days. That is, be resurrected in the resurrection of Daniel 12:2, which we just read about, not to everlasting damnation, but to everlasting life, and participate in the glorious triumph of Christ as the millennial kingdom is inaugurated. Inasmuch as resurrected saints are declared to reign with Christ in Revelation 5:10, it is conceivable that Daniel, who reigned under Nebuchadnezzar and Darius the Mede, will be allotted a future executive responsibility in the kingdom of Christ on earth, for which his earthly experience could contribute or constitute a preparation. His lot. Interesting. A few little conclusions from me. An important reminder for all of us is that Daniel knew nothing of the church age, which is a New Testament mystery unknown to Old Testament prophets, Ephesians chapter 1, I think, and 3, somewhere there. The book of Daniel is about Daniel's people, don't forget that, the land of Israel, the holy city and the sanctuary. It involves things like the Sabbath and flight into the wilderness. It's very much localized there, but it has a tremendous reach, and Christ has a tremendous reach right around the world there, unlike the Antiochus Epiphanes. So the next event for the church is the translation of those who are truly born again to meet the Lord in the air, as our memory verse said tonight, to meet the Lord in the air. That's the great hope of the church. The day of the Lord, or the great tribulation, is a period of time where God pours out his wrath on the sin-cursed world and on the Antichrist in his kingdom, of course. Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So we look for the Saviour, not for the Antichrist. And then you must remember that the study of the book of Daniel is very vitally important for us in the church age, because the prophecies of Daniel reveal the spiritual and physical conditions on earth directly after the translation of church age saints. Through the book of Daniel, we see a foreshadowing of things like globalization, the knowledge explosion, worldwide travel. This foreview of conditions that will be present shortly after the rapture means that the rapture also must needs be imminently close. In addition to this, the church age believer will find the book of Daniel as an absolutely essential key to the understanding of the New Testament book of Revelation. So without the book of Daniel, you're going to really be drowning in the book of Revelation. But you see here similar sort of references, similar sort of animals that have leopard skins and claws and 10 horns and all these different things. And Daniel gives us the key to understanding of that massive book, which we really need in this day, because that book also deals with the 7 churches of Asia, which John under the Spirit said was a mystery. So it wasn't just a historical record of 7 discrete churches. We believe they were in existence at the time in a certain circular pattern in Asia Minor. But the fact that he talks of the mystery of the 7 golden candlesticks, which we know is representing those churches, means that there's some prophetic significance of it. So there's a representation of the church age there, and when you get to chapter 4 and heaven is open for the first time, and you hear the voice, come up hither and I'll show thee things which shall be hereafter, marks the rapture point and the end of the church age. And then at chapter 19, the only other place where heaven is open, we see the King coming, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, on the white horse with the armies of heaven following him. That is the revelation, or the coming of Christ to rule and to reign, that Daniel was talking about. So it all fits together in an amazing way. So I trust that this will be a blessing to you, a challenge you. We've been through many, many scrapes, shall we say, with Daniel and his 3 friends, and we've seen something of the age in which we're living, which is the times of the Gentiles, but we've seen over and over again that God is sovereign. M.A. Butler brings us through in his beautiful little book, Get Hold of That, the times of the Gentiles, dealing with Daniel there, is that God is sovereign and things are on time, even though God is not the author of sin. God's given Antichrist this amount of allotted time to do what he wants to do. And then it's when his time's up, it's over. And so it is with Nebuchadnezzar. He couldn't understand why he was, lost his sanity, but until he realized that God's in heaven and he puts on the throne who he wants to, he takes him down when he's finished with him. And that's still true today. And it's a very comfort to know that whoever's in power, however wicked they are, they're only there by the express permission of God for a limited amount of time. And by the way, I wouldn't say that 7 years is a very long time for a politician for his political career. Two terms, as it were, for the Antichrist, and he's done. And there'll be some joys in heaven when he's finished his course. So let's come to the Lord and thank him for this precious book. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this precious book. Thank you the Lord Jesus put his seal upon it and said it was written by Daniel the prophet. Thank you for putting your seal upon the fact that the abomination of desolation is yet future in this time of unprecedented tribulation. Thank you that the Lord Jesus in the Olivet Discourse relied upon this and used the book of Daniel to show the timeline that we should be looking for as believers. Thank you for a good day today. We ask that you'll continue with those any who, Lord, are at this moment deeply considering the claims of Christ upon their lives, that they'll be, before they even rest this night, that they would call upon the Lord to save them, and that we might hear the happy news that they have come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. For the believers also, that there would be soberness and yet at the same time joy in learning about things which are future. It won't just be head knowledge, but it'll be translated into holy living and keen service for thee, so that we might be among those whom you will one day say, those that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. Thank you. We can have a part of that. Just a small part, but Lord, we do want to have a part. If it's just handing a tract to someone, I'm not sure where it's going to end, but doing something to be a part of your soul-saving program, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.